There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. It's a brand new week and you're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. It's Supernatural News and Parashare Monday. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis at the Supernatural News Desk. Remember, today's episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime Exclusives, brand new series, Lore, a chilling 6-episode anthology series. It has an executive producer from The Walking Dead and an executive producer from The X-Files involved in the show based on the podcast, which has over 70 million downloads. Creator and narrator Aaron Mankey explore the most terrifying tales throughout history. It just kicked off this last Friday on Amazon Prime. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you do. And remember to take care and pay attention to all of the sponsors that are part of our show, because that continues to let us be successful and continue to bring the show to you. Hello, Mr. Dennis. How are you, sir?
Doing well.
Good, good. Well, the weekend is gone. Another week is upon us. And from what I've seen, it looks like we've got a lot of weird stories to get into this week. So why don't we just jump right in, sir? Where shall we begin tonight?
Well, evidently those ghosts that used to haunt me have moved on to others. It turns out that there are men hating ghosts out there, Dave, and they're attacking other nations and leaving me alone, which is good.
Men hating ghosts.
Yeah. Man hating ghosts. Yep.
Okay. Yep. All right. Is this one of those Asian type stories? Because it seems that there's very angry, like revengeful Asian ghost stories surrounding women. Is it going to fall in that category, or are we talking here? Well, you said it was abroad, not here in the United States, right?
Right. Yeah. You're kind of close, but not really. It's in India.
Oh, well, isn't that part of Asia?
No, India is its own continent.
Damn it. Whatever. Yeah. You and your geography.
Yeah. Well, you know, I paid attention.
Okay, what's going on?
Well, men are fleeing an Indian village after a female man-hating ghost that only attacks males forced them to abandon their homes. Men have been fleeing that Indian village after people in the town feared a female ghost who was attacking male residents. It appears as though only women are now living in the tiny village of Kaziguda in the Nirmal district of Talan.
Kaziguda. I love that 80s band. They had that song.
No, that's
you,
Kajagugu, Dave. What? That's Kajagugu. This is Kaziguda. No, Kaziguda.
Oh, Kaziguda. Right, mistake.
Not Kajagugu.
Right. Not nearly as catchy or upbeat, I guess. All right. So
already,
now
it's already going to be tough enough. It's the Nirmal district in Telangana after reports of the ghost. Word of the reported ghost spread throughout the town of 60 residents after three people, including two brothers, were killed in the village within a 3-month period.
If ghosts were attacking, I'd be Telangana as well. See what I did there? Dear. Telangana. Dear. I'd be gone.
God, so, yes, I do see what you did there. Yeah. That's Kajagugu. Way to hit the one hit wonder there, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
People in the now abandoned village claimed that a female ghost had strangled the man, or the men rather, who were killed. The village was once inhabited by stone workers, but now doors are locked and windows have been shuttered. The few people who have remained go to sleep when the sun sets and do not leave their homes until sunrise the next morning. A woman in the town told Tamil News that the and that's not the captain in Tamil, Dave, just so you know.
Okay.
I beat you to the punch.
Thank you.
That the reported ghost had not attacked any women. No one plans to return to the village until the village is unpossessed. That's in quote of the ghost. That according to the Times of India. I know you get that on your doorstep at 5 a.m. every day.
Hey, Don, I give up that subscription.
Oh, did you? No more Times of India.
No, as long as they're not tied into Kaja Gugu, I have no interest in.
Oh, no.
I put in the cancellation long ago.
Yeah, that's pretty much that story there, Dave. We can move on from Kaja Gugu. You know, you've given them more press in the last 5 minutes than they've had in probably the last 10 years.
You're welcome, Kaja Gugu. Call me.
And they probably will.
Where will we be going next, sir?
We move forward where it says scary movie question mark. Bizarre footage of a mom possessed by a child ghost could be the most over the top paranormal video ever. This is a contender for the most over the top paranormal footage recorded as a mom claims she was possessed by a child spirit before her husband was apparently thrown across the room by the same ghost when he tried to comfort her. I almost said confront her, but comfort her.
Either answer would have gone right? If he tried to confront her to set things straight.
I think he should have confronted her rather than comfort her. He probably wouldn't have been thrown across the room.
I agree.
Footage intended to be chilling shows Rebecca Palmer sat in a dark part of a haunted theater clutching an appropriately old and creepy doll. Well, that's her first problem. She is with her husband, ghost hunter Sean Reynolds, who tries to talk to her when she falls silent and bows her head. The couple's ghost hunting equipment used to pick up paranormal energy is heard making robotic noises as Sean tells the camera this means it has found activity in the room. In scenes that could be found in Scary Movie, the 34-year-old Rebecca calls out "Mummy" and hugs the tatted doll to her chest, not tatted as in tattooed, but, you know, tatty.
Oh,
doll. Yeah.
I've seen those dolls, though. The ones with tattoos on them?
That look like Tupac? Yeah, they're pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah. I have one here.
We're
at the
looking
house.
In the different parts of the departments, my friend.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
Aw. I like the Biggie doll, too. And they have the fake guns and they shoot at each other. And then you can do little rap battles. They're kind of fun.
Oh.
So she's holding the doll to her chest while looking seemingly frightened and confused. Her husband is called back into the room by panicked members of the crew and is filmed trying to comfort her. I don't know why I'm having a problem with that word tonight. Comfort her before he falls to the floor, captured by a panning camera. He later calmly tells the camera that he felt he had been pushed by some force before he fell to the floor. The couple were at the New Mills Art Theater in Stockport, Greater Manchester, filming for their paranormal investigation series after sightings of shadow figures in the 100-year-old building. Rebecca from Liverpool said she could feel something different in the room as soon as she entered, but no one else could feel it. She claimed she then heard...
I think there's something different in the room.
Sorry, that's the only Liverpudlian I can do, buddy.
I was going to say she's one of the Beatles, evidently. She then turned to Paul and exclaimed, I don't know. She claims she then heard a child's voice, but again, no one else could hear it. She said, I can't remember much of what happened. I remember I felt like a child. I felt like a child, but it was all a haze. When I came out of it, it felt like when you have been dreaming and you remember fragments, but can't piece it all together.
I'm giving you a little purple haze, Tim, because she was in a haze.
Oh, I see. It was quite frightening. I couldn't.
What, my version of purple haze?
Yes, that too. I couldn't stop shaking. It's actually kind of Richard Cheese like. I appreciate that version.
Yeah. Mine was kind of 90s. That was kind of. Not Soundgarden. What's that band you always make fun of me for?
Creed. You're very Creed-like.
Very Creed.
Yeah.
You
should take it on the road, really. I mean,
I know you'd like me to.
Well, no. I'm not trying to push you away at all. I'm just saying.
You're on the road a lot, Dave. All right.
I'm just saying, you know.
She was frightened. This was a frightening scene, is what you're saying.
She's saying it was quite frightening. I couldn't stop shaking, and I felt really weak and drained, much like I felt after Dave sang Purple Haze like Creed. No, I'm kidding. When we were going around the rest of the rooms, I felt the little girl was still with me, following me. I kept getting waves of how she was feeling. She was so sad, she said. As a mom, it was really difficult knowing I had been taken over by the spirit of a child who had died. It really did affect me emotionally, and it was really upsetting. I couldn't believe the energy had been so powerful it had knocked Sean off his feet and thrown him away from me. Why would it do that? It was so strange. I try never to doubt the power of the spirit world, and the night at the theater proves just how dangerous the paranormal world can be. While the child's ghost was apparently controlling Rebecca, Sean said he felt worried at one point that they might not be able to get his wife back. But the couple's cameraman, Paul Jowett, who apparently has extensive experience of the paranormal, was able to get Rebecca back to normal. Sean added, "It was so emotional for me to see Bex like that. I have never seen anything like that before." The whole team went into a panic. "I don't think any of us have experienced an energy so powerful before. It completely lifted me off my feet. It was quite frightening, but at the same time, so intriguing. I don't think that the spirit was negative. It was just frightened." Paranormal investigators Sean and Rebecca were invited to visit the theater in the upcoming series of their TV show Ghost Dimension after workers reported some unusual encounters.
Well, we'll have to keep up on that and see. Now, have you actually watched the video footage?
I have not.
Does it look compelling?
No? I haven't actually looked at it. It was the fact that she was sitting there so lovingly with the doll, I almost didn't want to watch. I was just so taken aback by the loving embrace of the doll that I didn't want to ruin the picture I had in front of me, Dave.
All right. Whatever works for you. Where shall we go next?
You're not buying that, are you?
Not at all.
Not for a minute.
Nope.
All right. I was looking at her boobs.
I know.
It's generally what comes down to.
Doll was cuddled up there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all right. It's nestled lovingly right between them.
Okay, Harvey, let's get going.
Hey, I'll have you know that I've only gotten naked in front of a few women before in my life. We're going on to Sheboygan, Dave. Where
Sheboygan, you say? Why?
Well, because aliens made me do it.
Piss off?
What's that?
Who did we piss off that we have to Sheboygan?
Well, it's Sheboygan's a very nice town if you only have a few felonies and need to hide. It turns out that aliens made me do it. A man claims that he vandalized a Sheboygan home because, well, by gosh, aliens made him do it.
Stupid aliens.
I know. A 31-year-old Sheboygan man is facing multiple charges after telling officers that aliens made him vandalize a home in the 900 block of Kentucky Avenue.
Man, if they're not probing our assholes, they're making us do stupid stuff. Well, this is ridiculous.
It's kind of like the alien version of Jackass, Dave. It really is.
I guess.
It happened several times over the past 3 weeks. So it wasn't just once, Dave.
Oh.
It was multiple.
What were they? Like crank calling him, telling him what to do?
Probably.
"We have your dog. If you want to see it alive, go spray paint a penis on your neighbor's garage."
This guy does look kind of gullible from his mugshot. Does he look
gullible?
Yeah.
All right. So how did the aliens contact this cat? Let's hear this.
Well, he did this several times over the past 3 weeks, including trying to set the home on fire. Oh, my gosh. Look at this last name. Infachak. That's his last name. Infachak.
Anufong Infachak
Was arrested October 5th and charged with two counts felony arson of a building and two counts or misdemeanor counts of graffiti. You were right. He did spray paint the old dick on the house. Two counts of criminal damage to property and one misdemeanor count of carrying a concealed weapon, because by gosh, you got to be strapped when you're spray painting the strap up on the garage. Infachak, who said he is diagnosed schizophrenic. No, really? No. Said aliens made him vandalize the home. According to a criminal complaint, over the past 3 weeks, the Sheboygan Police Department took 5 separate reports of damage and vandalism to a home and vehicles at the address. The first graffiti was reported September 11th by new owners of the property who are in the process of renovating the home to live in. The letters DNA were spray painted on the home in black. Well, that's innocent enough. Over the next several weeks, the owners reported the front window of the home was smashed out. A dent was kicked into their van. And someone tried to set fire to the home on 2 separate occasions. An officer on patrol went past.
You talk about whiny neighbors. Get over it.
Yeah, I know. Just replace the window and move on.
That's an everyday week in northern Minneapolis, or North Minneapolis, Tim.
An officer on patrol past the home on October 5th noted a suspicious man sitting in a maroon van on the location, later identified as Infachak, who pulled a hood up over his head and drove off when the officer approached. Obviously had seen E.T. a few times. The vehicle was stopped and Infachak was taken into custody on a probation and parole violation warrant. Officers searching Infachak found a hatchet in his pocket, and no, he wasn't happy to see the cop. When interviewed by police, Infachak admitted to trying to set a fire to the home twice, painting the letters DNA on the house twice, because once just isn't enough. You got to spread your DNA everywhere, Dave. You know what I'm saying? And causing damage.
Talking to a guy with 8 kids. I think I pick up what you're putting down.
And causing damage to a van by kicking it and busting out the kitchen window using his skateboard, because that's what Tony Hawk would do.
That's the way he escapes after vandalizing. He's on his skateboard. He's out of there.
He's out of there. Infachak did not know the house was under new owners and appeared to be targeting the homeowner, or former owners, rather, police said. He also told officers that he has an alien virus from outer space and that the aliens were making him upset and were making him vandalize the home. Of course. I mean, now it makes sense.
It's that that's that black oil virus. It's the purity virus from the X-Files movie.
Right.
That's just the next evolution. Before, it makes you want to kill people, and it would make you de-evolve into kind of a rage machine. Now it just makes you paint penises on people's garages and break their windows.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So. Infachak said the aliens used black magic on him, of course, and altered his DNA to make him shorter, which is why he spray painted DNA on the house. Now it all makes sense.
Sure.
They are switching dimensions all the time, he said, setting people up for a bad time, Infachak told officers during the interview. I'm telling you the truth. Alien viruses to evolve mankind, man.
Man. Infachak, and shrink us, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. We're like human shrinky dinks to them, evidently.
Yeah.
Infachak, who is said
he's shrinky dinks. Yeah. Nice throwback. Yeah. I think those haven't been around in 40 years, Tim.
Well, you know, I had to go way back.
Shrinky dinks. Yeah. Wow.
Infachak, who said he is schizophrenic, and prescribed medication, also said voices in his head tell him to do things. Infachak's parents told officers that he refused to take his medication and had not been eating or sleeping. They repeatedly thanked the officers for taking Infachak into custody and said they were afraid of what he might do. And there you go.
Yeah, I got to give you a little Till Tuesday there to back you up with their story of hearing voices, huh?
Oh, yeah. Even down voices carry. Yeah.
Yeah.
And DNA is all over your garage. Just saying.
That's wow. Is that schizophrenic? First of all, doesn't it scare you that somebody that kind of around the bend is out there just walking around free?
A little bit.
You know, if he's willing to do that, what else are the aliens telling him to do? It just seems weird that, you know. We do have an issue with mental health in this country, man. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yes.
All right. Where will we go next, sir?
Well, Dave, evidently all you need to do to improve in the NFL is to go see somebody.
See somebody? Anybody in particular? Do they join Match.com in order to start doing better?
No, and it's not necessarily a therapist. It might be your local neighborhood psychic.
What?
Patrick Murray, who plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was happy to be back at One Buck Place on Tuesday. Happy to be back in the NFL after interviewing at financial firms and considering putting his Fordham education to use as a commodities trader or in orthopedics. But since being released in training camp by the Saints, he and his father would still go down to Don Bosco Prep in New Jersey at 1 p.m. every Monday through Wednesday and Wednesday through Friday. So pretty much Monday through Friday. So he could kick for an hour, Dave, just kicking footballs. Murray was the Bucs kicker as a rookie in 2014. He had made 20 out of 24 field goals, 83% for a long of 55 yards, and did not miss an extra point from the old distance.
Then sign him up for the Vikings. We need that kind of player.
Well, now, you know, old Forbath wasn't too bad on Sunday, but you never know, because every once in a while he likes to hit the crossbar. Then came a torn ACL for Murray in his left non-kicking leg, and he missed a year. He won the Browns job last season, then tore his patellar tendon in the same knee. It was gone after two games. He has a habit of tearing things. So he says, I'm a better man, Murray says, his Fordham hat pulled down low just above his eyes. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, I'm a better man. So absolutely, I'm a better kicker as well. There may not be a more likable kicker in Bucks history than Murray. Also, not many have been more interesting. Roberto Aguayo was too inexperienced. Nick Folk ran out of gas. And if you keep reading, because Murray's story includes a happy medium. That's right. There's a happy medium here. Among the things that Murray disclosed about himself included, he feels a connection with Vince Lombardi, the Rams' most famous alumni. He was carrying around his biography and quoting him on Tuesday. There's a pretty famous guy who said something along the lines of, I've never met a man worth his salt that didn't appreciate the grind, Murray said. That man was Vince Lombardi. So he's quoting Lombardi a lot. He doesn't believe in a Bucks kicking curse. So what if he is a part, or if he is part of it with a torn ACL in 2015? Forget about Connor Barth's torn Achilles, Lawrence Tynes contracting MRSA, or the complete career reversals of Aguayo and Folk. In other words, Tampa Bay Buccaneers kickers don't last very long. The man he is replacing after he missed seven kicks in four games, that guy wasn't cursed at all either. He says, I think if you buy into things like that, they're easy to believe, Murray said. But I don't buy into that kind of thinking. Murray has sought career advice from legendary Irish footballers Roy Keane and Martin O'Neill. Ireland beat Wales yesterday, he said, who told him to keep going because you don't get that many opportunities to pursue your dream and play sports for a living. But he had gotten a sniff from another NFL team until the Bucks dialed him up over the weekend. He calls that serendipity. He said, when I got this phone call, I was ecstatic, but at the same time, I felt so calm. I was at peace and I was like, okay, this is meant to happen. And on Monday, Murray was one of five kickers trying out, and obviously he did pretty well. And he said the longest field goal he made was from 59 yards. Now comes an even more interesting part. Murray is a devout Irish Catholic, attends Mass before each NFL game on Sunday. He doesn't need a sports psychologist, he says, but he has been consulting with a medium, a fortune teller, somebody who has a connection with the dead. Presumably, that would include the Bucks kicking game of late, says the article. I think that's her idea of a joke. Yeah. Ouch. Murray says she's helped me tremendously with a lot of different things. And maybe it's just getting me to talk that's been helping me, getting stuff off my chest and being able to really get that kind of feel of that positive energy, Murray said. This woman happens to really be Irish Catholic, very, very deeply into her faith. She worked at my gym, and there are things that she has mentioned that I've told nobody. And there are things that she would have that she said would happen.
Words is hard, huh?
Well, it's kind of a confusing sentence. Yeah. It's validation for me, and maybe it is speaking about my feelings and having her respond, getting into a dialogue and then having something validated that allows me to feel that way I feel. And maybe that's just all I needed. By nature, a lot of place kickers are stoic. They're listed as specialists, and in a way, they're outliers on the team. They can't be unbuckled from their routine, but Murray is particular about who enters his body and soul. I'll say, I don't speak on feelings. It was never natural for me until I started speaking to her, Murray said. It's a comfort level for me. There's only certain people I let work on my body. There's only certain people I let stretch me, and only certain people I'll talk to about certain things. That's the way I operate, but she's really helped me quite a bit, and I'll still be talking to her. Maybe Coach Dirk Koetter should put her in the coach's box on Sunday. With so many futures tied to Murray's kicks, it would be great to know if he was going to make it beforehand, says the article. I don't think you should jinx him that way by having the psychic all of a sudden start calling that he's going to start hitting stuff wide right. That'd be terrible. I'm just saying. But there you go. Patrick Murray, kicker for the Bucks, now hooked on psychics.
Well, good for him. Welcome back to the NFL. Hey, everybody, we're calling on you all across the world to start to follow our official Twitter page at Beyond Dark Show. Go follow it now at Beyond Dark Show, because we're going to be doing some contests through social media. We want to make sure that you're eligible for. And if you follow, you'll be able to find out about all that cool stuff when we're giving away copies of movies, copies of books, and more. We'll make them available to you, but you've got to follow us at Beyond Dark Show on Twitter. You can also follow Tim. He can be found at Dr. Tim Dennis. That's Dr. for Darkness Radio, Tim Dennis. And you can follow me at Darkness Radio. We've made it very simple. All you have to do is find us on Twitter so that that way we can keep you up to date with everything that's going on with us. And you could be a participant in the contests that we run on those pages. And we have now launched our brand new True Crime Tuesday Twitter account. And it's real easy to find at True Crime T-U-E for Tuesday. At True Crime T-U-E. Follow it now. We're going to be giving away copies of books from the guests that you hear on our True Crime show. There'll be some other cool guests, gifts and things that we'll be putting up that you'll be eligible for. But you have to follow the official Twitter page in order to be a part of that. So go sign up for it right now. Make sure you never miss another cool announcement from your buddies at Beyond the Darkness and True Crime Tuesday. Where will we go next, Tim?
To a place where girls scream in terror after filming goblins, Dave.
What? Yeah, goblins, you say? Let me hear this.
Goblins. Okay. Girls are running screaming in terror after filming a goblin while walking in the countryside. But is the creepy footage all it seems? That's the question being asked. In this story, a group of teenage girls were left terrified after spotting what they believed to be a goblin during a countryside stroll. The youngsters were out walking near the village of Tacopalta y Marta, which I think I've had a
Did
little.
Did you make that up?
No, it's right here. Tacopalta y Marta, which means the mall of poultry tacos, I believe.
The mall Spanish. Of poultry tacos?
I made up. I don't think that's what it really means.
It sounded acceptable, but go on.
It did, didn't it? In the northwestern Argentine province of Tucumán, when they saw the strange-looking creature, one of the girls claims to have filmed the goblin emerging from the trees as she and her friends walked through fields. Mobile phone footage appears to show the shadowy creature in the distance as crying and wailing can be heard out of shot. Children say they are too scared to play football after they spot the goblin at the side of the pitch. Their version of football, Dave, I don't know if you know this or not, is soccer in our country.
What?
Yeah, those strange people.
Don't they understand English?
I know. Football is football, but soccer is just plain boring.
Well, I'm all for the goblins if it's stopping soccer, Tim.
I am too. Yeah, I mean, we need to stop people who force us to nap like that.
Yes. Yeah. If we've got to watch soccer, I hope more goblins show their way around and stop what is the bane that is soccer.
I know. Correct.
A lot of our listeners are hating us for saying that. I'm sorry.
Correct. No, why should they be angry? Why should they be angry at a true statement, Dave? One of the teenagers can be heard in the background asking, "Is that a goblin?" While another replies, "It's a goblin," before they turn and flee in fear. I'm sure they didn't say it like that, but I just wanted to make it sound nice.
Is that a goblin?
Is that a goblin?
That looks like a goblin.
It's a goblin. As the small figure walks toward them. Is that what one of them said? Then the other's like, it's totally a goblin. Okay, well, wait. Now, I've seen goblins, okay? And that
all right, now I'm looking at this
goblin video.
I don't know what the hell that is, but I guess if that's what they call a goblin, it's definitely weird looking.
Yeah. It could be just somebody's little brother who's maybe not the best looking little brother in the world.
Wow. Like a dirty little family secret.
Yeah. Like, you know.
I don't know. I guess anything's possible.
Mom was probably shacking up with the not so great looking mailman, and that's what probably was the result.
You are judgmental,
son. Just saying. As the small figure walks towards them, the girls are heard crying and shouting, "Run, run!" Which they do too much of in soccer. That's part of the boring part of it, I guess. The video was posted online where it split opinion over whether it was genuine or not. User Roberto Cardozo commented, "Magical creature. It rapes you 5 times before touching ground." I think that's a magical porn star, actually.
Good God.
I think he got that wrong. In February this year, the neighboring province of Santiago del Estero, a group of children said they were too scared to play football after spotting what they believed was a goblin near the pitch. Goblins are monstrous mythical creatures first mentioned in European folklore in the Middle Ages. They're usually described as small and grotesque, mischievous or evil, and greedy, especially for gold and jewelry. They often have magical abilities. Tucumán is the smallest and most densely populated of the provinces of Argentina. And there you go.
Well, that definitely sounds like some form of lore. And I don't know if you saw it, Tim, but Friday, the brand new Amazon Prime exclusive Lore kicked off. The scariest stories are true. It's a 6-episode anthology series. They've got an actual executive producer from The Walking Dead and an executive producer of The X-Files behind the show, based on the podcast phenomenon with over 70 million downloads. They've got creator and narrator Aaron Mankey, where he explores the most terrifying tales throughout history. Each uniquely creepy episode will take a myth that's rooted in historical folklore, and then they twist it and kind of turn it on its ear, exposing timeless terrors that still haunt us today. Real life can scare you to death, Tim. And if you didn't see the episodes, they're out and available on Amazon Prime right now. Go check it out. And, well, you know what? One of my favorite ones, you know how I feel about haunted dolls freaky dolls. Mm-hmm. Check out the episode Unboxed. It's about Robert Jean Otto, little boy without any friends, that is, until he receives a doll as a gift, and he names the doll after himself, Robert. They become fast friends, and soon the boy believes the doll is real. But to everyone else, Robert the doll turns out to be a bit of a curse. Now, we've had a chance to actually be in the presence of Robert the doll. I was out at TAPSCon in St. Petersburg, Florida, I think about 7-8 years ago, and they had Robert in the case right across from my table, Tim.
Mm.
Now, first of all, it's a freaky looking doll. It's one of those, it's got this nondescript face. It's I don't know how to even explain it. If you have not seen Robert the doll, he's dressed in this creepy little sailor suit.
Okay.
Which, you know, what it looks like to me is like a pauper kid's toy, like something you couldn't really, like you just took something, it stuffed it in a nylon and then put an outfit on it. You know, it's very nondescript, very creepy. And I thought it was kind of laughable at first. And the whole thing is you have to ask Robert's permission to take his picture.
Okay.
Or some really bad stuff can go on. And I guess he's known to curse people and cause all kinds of problems. So, of course, being the schmuck that I am, I went up and started taking pictures without asking permission on my cell phone.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, I was waiting for the big curse, Tim.
And?
Yeah. I mean, I got some bad shellfish that night, but I don't think it was a curse. I'm just not too good with shellfish. So I saw this doll. I was like very unimpressed in person. And I thought, okay, yeah, all right. This is kind of, I can see why you get the creepy vibe from it, but it didn't move. I was watching it like a hawk.
Okay.
It didn't move. Nothing creepy happened till I got home.
Okay.
And then I was telling my kids about it, and they wanted to see the pictures of Robert the doll. No kidding. This is no joke. Every picture on my camera was gone on my cell phone. All the pictures of my kids wiped out. No pictures from the entire weekend survived for me on my phone. Everything wiped out. Right. So I was like, all right, this is coinky dink. It's all coinky dink. And I was actually talking to Johnny Z, John Zaffis. And, you know, he's probably one of the most educated men we know on the paranormal. Right. And he's been involved in many cases. And he told me, he goes, Dave, some of these curses are not a joke. And he said, and the curse that seems to follow Robert the doll is very weird and very dark. And he said, you should be thankful that that's all you have go on, is that you lost all of your pictures. Now, you know, I've had weird things happen to me since then. Is that all still part of the curse? I don't know how deep this curse goes, Tim.
Weird.
I don't know. And it frightens me.
So you could still be cursed to this day from Robert.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there a way to get out of the curse from Robert? Well, you can check out Lore for yourself. You'll find out more about the story, more of the backstory. Go check it out. It's right now on Amazon Prime Video this October. Started last Friday, the 13th. And it's a phenomenal brand new series, a 6-episode series that you can find on Amazon Prime Video. And it's based on real historic accounts. The episodes are kind of this unique blend of mixed media. They've got like archival footage. They've got some kind of really trendy artwork, animation, and then reenactments. And they do prove that the scariest stories are often true. You can find more information by checking out Amazon.com/lore. Make sure you check it out for yourself and see why this show is such a phenomenon around the world. All right, Tim, where shall we go next in the world of supernatural news?
I just had this amazing thought.
Yes.
What would have happened if you would have just been a total smartass, walked up to Robert the Doll, put your hand in his butt, and tried to do a ventriloquist act with him without permission? Think of the curse.
They keep him behind glass. He's like in a glass cube on a chair. You're not allowed to touch him. But then they sell replicas of this creepy little son of a gun.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess it's a spread the curse you wealth. I don't know. I wasn't going to buy one, even though I didn't really believe in the idea of the curse. I didn't buy one, but it was they're freaky looking dolls. I think we talked to Joshua P. Warren on our show about Robert the Doll a number of years ago.
Yeah.
It's a weird deal.
Weird.
All right. You got more supernatural for us?
Yep. We'll go to Texas, where a Texas couple has gone missing after flying to the Bahamas to elope. We're trying to remain hopeful, says their family. We go to that Texas or part of Texas where that couple who took their private plane to go on a trip of a lifetime to the Bahamas also planned to elope and now are missing and have been missing for over 2 weeks. On September 26th, Forrest Sanko and Donna Grant of Fort Worth, Texas, took off from Fort Pierce, Florida, and landed in Freeport in the Bahamas. But they never made it to their final destination in Rum Cay, where they
crossed through the Bermuda Triangle in that area.
Yeah.
Oh, suddenly the plot gets weirder, Tim. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Where they had rented a house and planned to tie the knot. The couple, both 56 years old, who went to high school together, reconnected a year ago on Facebook. Oh, it's the curse of Facebook, Dave. That trumps the Bermuda Triangle. And instantly knew where they were meant to be or knew that they were meant to be. They had a whirlwind romance, said Sanko's niece, Leanne Berger. She told People magazine, he told us that he knew she was the one right after their first date. In true Sanko fashion, says Berger, he bought a Cessna 150, reinstated his pilot's license, and planned the trip because the trip was going to be a romantic adventure.
Wait a minute, Tim.
Okay.
Now, first of all, if you reconnected with a female friend of yours from high school,
okay,
and you realized, you know what, all these years, you were the missing piece. You were the one I was supposed to have.
All right.
And you decide to get back together, and it's exactly what you hope for. It's this fairy tale love romance. It's like no years have passed between you. And she says, let's go to the Bahamas via Florida through the Bermuda Triangle. I don't currently have a pilot's license, but let me go get reinstated and I'll fly us there.
I'd say no thanks, honey. Let's drive to Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's closer to the Texas border.
It is. And they have great barbecue. Yeah.
If you let your license lapse, and I'm not a pilot, Tim. I know I look like one in my cool bomber jacket and shiny shades.
Right.
But I'm not a pilot. It's true.
That's right, Goose.
Yeah. Thanks, Maverick. Not a pilot, but if you have to reinstate your license and you kind of let it, I think maybe let's just take a good plane. Let's just fly to the Bahamas. I don't know, on Southwest or something.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
I don't. And again, that's not, I don't want to hurt your feelings. But, if you haven't kept up to date on your pilot-y stuff, let's not do that. And then what kind of guy, man? No wonder she married him. I don't mean to sound cold or callous. But if you reignite a flame with an old flame and they're able to just drop money and buy a brand new plane. Yeah, that might be the kind of person you want to settle down with, Tim.
No, maybe.
Yeah, I still don't want to fly in their plane, though.
No.
No, thanks. No, nope. No.
I say spring for first class tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't even have to go the southwest.
Yeah.
Go, right.
Yeah, yeah. Just go first class.
Take Spirit.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Pay for your own bags. I mean,
that's right.
Do it up. So they were going to they planned the trip, and because the trip was going to be a romantic adventure for the couple, their families didn't expect to hear from them very often because they figured, you know, 56 years old and they make medications these days that'll make them go for weeks. So they figured, we're not going to hear from them for a while, which is why they didn't expect anything to go wrong until a week had gone by and they hadn't heard from them. Right. My husband got a call from Forrest's friend asking if he had heard from him. Berger says he was watching his cat. Cat herding. That had to be fun for a week. And he hadn't come to pick him up. It was then that he had called Sanko's employer, who said he was supposed to return to work days ago. They knew something must be wrong.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Berger recalls. But it was only when they found out that Sanko hadn't talked to his 10-year-old daughter in several days that they began to panic. His ex-wife, with whom he shares joint custody, told Berger that they assumed his silence was just because he was enjoying his vacation, if you know what I mean. I immediately went on social media and found a Facebook page for the Rum Cake community, says Berger. A guy named Craig responded and says it was his house they were renting, but they never showed up. Craig, who was also has a plane, discussed Sanko's flight plan with him, which gave the family clues as to where they could be. Their last known location was in Freeport, Bahamas, and Sanko's last post to Instagram was on September 26th. We found out that they cleared customs in Freeport on the 26th and were able to find fuel receipts in North, I believe it's Eulithera, but after that, we can't track them anywhere. We were able to find a couple local guys with airplanes who have basically been conducting searches for us, says Berger, who says that due to lack of resources with the Bahamian government and Coast Guard, the family has had to hire their own private search crews and pilots. Reports of the missing couple were disseminated to the United States Coast Guard and the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, according to Berger. United States Coast Guard has stressed the RBDF is leading all efforts on the matter, according to the Bahamas Tribune. We have been faced with nothing but resistance. It's beyond frustrating, Berger went on to say. The family has created a GoFundMe page to help with the steep costs. Although every lead has resulted in a dead end, they're determined to continue the search. We're trying to remain hopeful, but we're also realistic, says Berger. I think it's at this point we're searching for answers. The ideal situation would be obviously to find them roasting marshmallows on a deserted island. Let's hope that that's the situation they do find.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the one they will find.
That's tragic. Yeah, you don't want to, you know, you're going off to start your life. You're going. That's why my fiance and I are just getting married locally, Tim, and we might go to the Denny's for dinner.
That's not a
bad idea.
That'll
be our big, or maybe Old Country Buffet, Tim. You know, I might splurge. Right. I'm kind of a big shooter. I don't like to lie.
Well, good,
you know,
good on you.
Yeah, but I'm not going to jump. I'm not buying a Cessna. I'm not going to fly her through the Bermuda Triangle.
Well, I thought you weren't much of a
take
pilot.
Her to the out of doors. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to do any of that nonsense. You know, I might take her over to the Kmart and put her on one of those little merry-go-rounds in the front. She's very small, Tim.
Never underestimate those merry-go-rounds. That's a hell of a trip. Yeah.
It's romantic. It's and she's stuff. Very little. It'll be a good ride for her.
Aw, look at you. Yeah. Romeo.
Caring guy.
Yeah.
Huh. She's rolling her eyes, I'm sure. I can sense a disturbance in the force that will be a smack to the back of my head later for that comment.
Are her eyes rolling like a slot machine right now?
Where shall we go next, sir?
There is a family claiming mischievous spirits are plaguing them with mysterious fires. We normally call it a riot. They're just calling it a darn good time. No, I'm kidding. We go to Kota Baru. Which and Tigger too. I don't know. I'm full of like fun rhymes tonight.
Go to Peru and Tigger too.
6 years ago, Zainab Suleiman, and her family claimed to have suffered from paranormal activity, including mysterious fires at their home in Kampung Panambang. I remember this Mas near Pantai. I remember this because of the names Cahayabulan. The phenomena lasted for several months, resulting in the former.
The what?
The phenomenon, Dave.
Oh, God, here we go. The phenomena, Dave. The phenomena.
I love that song.
It lasted.
All the listeners out there right now that have told me don't ever do that again.
You just did.
Mm-hmm. My show. Don't tell me what to do.
It lasted for several months, resulting in the former petty trader and her family suffering huge losses, including the destruction of their wooden house and other valuable properties. Though still unable to explain the things that were happening to her family, Zainab was glad when the occurrences stopped. But the 80-year-old and her family are now suffering again, claiming that the paranormal activity began again last month. Zainab claimed unexplained fires again occurred, damaging her house and another belonging to her sister. The latest incident happened on Friday. I was at our rental home stay with our daughter, I believe that's Ropia Zakaria, 50 years old, and her three children, aged between 17 and 21, when suddenly five unexplained mysterious fires started to burn our clothes and prayer mats. Worried the fire would spread to the whole house, we immediately took some water and splashed the fire, she said. Zainab said since the incident, they have been having sleepless nights worrying that the fire would occur while everyone was asleep. Since mm-hmm. last month, we have called all sorts of religious experts and even BOMO to help us. But the mischievous spirits continue to disturb my family, she said.
BOMO arigato, Mr.
I don't think it's Mr. Roboto.
BOMO.
Although Mr. Roboto may have a fire extinguisher. You never know.
That's right.
Making the situation worse.
That would make you, I don't mean to interrupt, but that would be terrifying. Worse than like a ghost that shows up in your mirror, a ghost that's like lighting stuff on fire. And while you're sleeping, dude, that's terrifying. That is probably the weirdest, creepiest ghost. Would you rather see something like, I don't know, like Pazuzu from The Exorcist darting around your house and you could never quite catch up to them, but they're always darting around? Or would you rather have spirits that start fires at random times?
I want to know how the spirit lights the lighter if they don't have like fingers, if it's just that sheet with the eyes and the
damn, the sheet with the eyes, that's just a cartoon thing. They use kinetic energy, man. They're kinetic. That's why you'll feel cold spots, because it's like antimatter, I think, or something. I ain't no scientist, Tim. I
think maybe they rub two sticks together to get that fire going.
Could be.
A flint?
They just knock over their skeleton friend and start rubbing leg bones together and see what they can get to happen. I don't know. But seriously, though, what would you rather see? Some kind of creepy figure, or would you rather face a fire-starting ghost? Because the creepy thing, you can close your eyes and ignore it, right?
Creepy one, you can close your
fire,
eyes.
But fire, you sleep and you wake up and you're, you know, surrounded by flames.
And if I were a scarecrow, I'd really be, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, down, down. But then flames just went higher. That terrifies me more than anything. Burning to death? You can mark me off on that. I don't want to. I'll take a pass. That and drowning. Although I hear drowning is the best way to go.
They say it's peaceful, but I don't ever want
to. Yeah, you kind of. And then you just go to sleep. And but I don't. That's terrifying to me. Both of those.
Yeah.
You know how I want to go?
How?
Choking on a Twinkie. I've thought it through. It's choking on a Twinkie.
That luscious cream filling.
And then hit the ground and be gone. That's it. That's where I want people to go. But he died doing what he loved doing, eating Twinkies.
I want to go in the sack.
Pardon me.
You heard me. That's where I want to go.
I feel bad for the lady underneath you.
Well, I mean, it may be horrifying for her, but hey, I'll have had a great time.
Good God.
I'm just saying.
Dead weight falling on you, son.
Yeah, well, you know.
Literally, Tim.
Who wouldn't want to go that way?
Me. Why? I don't want that. That's because, you know, I already feel like I disappoint women in life. I don't want to feel like I'm doing it in the afterlife as well.
They got you coming and going. You know what I'm saying?
Hi-oh. Good night, everybody. Remember to tip your waiters and waitresses. We'll be here all week.
Making the situation worse. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go Go ahead. Making the situation worse. I didn't think it could get worse.
No,
but it's
you didn't
worse.
Think. It's but fire. Right. It's fire. She said many neighbors seem to be avoiding coming close to them, and some even refuse to rent their houses to her family. Since last month, we have had to rent a homestay in the village because we could not find a house to rent. Many villagers refuse to allow us to rent their homes as they are afraid of the mysterious fires and that they might destroy their houses, said Zainab.
That's understandable.
So
that's totally understandable.
Now they're being discriminated against because of fire-starting ghosts.
Well, but that's a good reason to be discriminated against.
Well, I guess so, yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb there and say that I totally understand that aspect of it. If you're going to be discriminated against, it should be because everywhere you go, mysterious fires start. That seems like a much better reason to alienate somebody. I'm not one for alienation at all, Tim.
Right.
But if you, wherever you go, fire start, I'm not inviting you over. Unless I'm looking for a bonfire and we want to make s'mores, then you're the guy. You're the go-to guy for that moment.
But do you think under explanations for the anti-discrimination part of the application for the rental property, they start writing out the lyrics to "We Didn't Start the Fire" by Billy Joel?
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I would.
It's always burning since the world's been turning.
Right.
All right. Where are you taking us out with our last couple of stories? Where are we going next?
Well, it turns out that a rock star is unveiling plans for cutting edge science to investigate UFOs. It's true. A rock star has turned UFO entrepreneur and is ready to finally unveil plans for an ambitious investigation of cutting edge phenomena. Dave. Phenomena. Phenomena. And this time he's bringing help. Musician Tom DeLonge first revealed his long-term plans to the I-Team nearly 2 years ago. It was George Knapp, actually, in Las Vegas, who said, "These are real people in real positions," with that question to Tom DeLonge. And he said, "These are real people in real positions dealing with real threats." This in an interview from March of 2016. When DeLonge first told the I-Team 16 months ago that he had connected with high-ranking military and intelligence officials and got them to open up about UFOs, the public then groaned, and it was a loud groan at that. Why would national security authorities spend any time speaking to a punk rocker, especially about intrusions by unknown aircraft? Well, DeLonge's many critics said he was making it up or being fed disinformation. Then WikiLeaks released hundreds of pages of emails from presidential advisor John Podesta's account, and among them were messages from Tom DeLonge, identifying top generals and others who were advising him about UFOs. DeLonge had been telling the truth all along, it turns out. There are groups, high-level groups, within the DOD and national security divisions of our country. Not only do I know it is real, you know, I am starting to get a clear picture of why it was kept secret, DeLonge said in an interview with the I-Team in April of 2016. To the chagrin of his music fans, DeLonge changed the course of his professional life, founded a company called To the Stars to house his various projects, and went silent as he worked to rebuild the network sidelined by the WikiLeaks disclosure. Now, after hitting some snags, he is ready to unveil his project, a public benefit corporation called To the Stars Academy. One element will be entertainment, movies and books consistent with the theme of cutting-edge science. But the bigger story will be the partners who will step forward, noted physicist Dr. Hal, I believe that's Puthoff? Yeah. Who has worked with the CIA and NSA, as well as private think tanks, studying exotic propulsion technologies. Chris Mellon, who served in the office of the Secretary of Defense in two administrations. Steve Justice, head of the advanced systems for Lockheed Skunk Works, whose previous projects were developed by Nevada's Area 51 base. He will reportedly oversee the development of an exotic craft inspired by and a rival to the technology displayed in some UFO encounters. Also, Luis Elizondo, who until a week ago worked for the Secretary of Defense in charge of identifying unidentified aerial threats, a job the public didn't even know existed until now. DeLonge's webpage outlines some of what the public corporation hopes to do, and a big part of that will be the ongoing investigation of cutting-edge phenomena, Dave.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Subject.
Do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Subjects that for decades have been studied in secrecy by small groups within the government. Knapp went on to ask DeLong, it's hard to tell the public there are people in the government and military who know it's real and important and true. And DeLong backed that up by saying, absolutely. And not only is there a level of people that know it is true, it is grand chess game. Several of the people mentioned in the I-Team story will speak publicly Wednesday about UFOs and other exotic pursuits. The I-Team was also told that there is a pretty dramatic UFO encounter involving the U.S. military that will be revealed and documented as well. And that impending announcement is coming soon.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'll look forward to hearing from the, you know, when George Knapp's involved, I really give a lot more credence to these type of stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, George is one of my fellow hosts on Coast to Coast. And I should mention, I just found this out, I'm going to be hosting Coast to Coast AM this Friday. So people get more of me, Tim. I'm the gift that keeps on giving, this guy right here. You get me 5 days this week on Beyond the Darkness. Plus, you get me on True Crime Tuesday. And then you get me on Coast to Coast AM. That's how much I love these people, Tim.
I guess.
That's how much. Yeah. 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 That's a lot of me.
That is a lot of you. Yeah.
Picked up on that, but that's a lot of me. And then next week, Tim,
yeah,
I'm back doing our show Monday through Friday, plus True Crime Tuesday. Then I'm going to host Coast to Coast AM Saturday and Sunday. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Friday and Saturday next, the following week, the 27th and 28th. That's it. So 27th Friday, we're going to do nightmares. We'll take your calls. If you've got nightmares, the good doctor will be with us. He'll tell us what these nightmares mean, Tim. What could they possibly mean? And you can email me your stories if you're having nightmares. Just keep it concise. Get to the point of the nightmare, and I'll read it on air and see if we can get those answers. Dave@darknessradio.com. Dave@darknessradio.com. And then the following night on the 28th, in time for the Halloween spirit, Tim, Troy Taylor's going to join me. And we're going to talk about hauntings and creepy ghost stories. And I've got a bunch of really cool stuff lined up for Coast to Coast over the next couple of weeks. The Apparitionist is this Friday. We're going to talk about Mumler, the famous photographer of ghosts, and his fraud and chicanery. So that's what's going on. It's a lot of me, Tim. I don't know if you picked up on that yet, but it's me.
Yeah, I've got
and a little bit more me.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
totally. It's because I love these people. I love them all. Plus, it's a good opportunity. They're letting us go out, Tim. We have to take a break. When we come back, we've got more supernatural news, and we've got some parashare stories right here on Beyond the Darkness.
Beyond the Darkness.
The scariest stories are true. Amazon Prime exclusive series Lore is available now. It's a chilling 6-episode anthology series. What do you get when you mix one of the executive producers of The Walking Dead and the executive producer of The X-Files, along with the podcast phenomenon known as Lore? You get a brand new series by creator and narrator Aaron Mankey that explores the most terrifying tales throughout history, all of them uniquely crafted. They take a look at myths and part of folklore, and they look into the history and reality of these stories and turn them on their ear, telling you some of the most fascinating and creepy stories from right here back in our backyard. As a matter of fact, the first episode, Tim, was about Mercy Brown, the vampire. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of great episodes to check out for yourself. They've got Unboxed, the story of Robert the Doll, Black Stockings from 19th century Ireland, folklore. That is a very strong hold. You're going to want to see that one as well. The Beast Within, They Made a Tonic. Go check all of these out. They are great episodes. They're available on Amazon Prime exclusive Lore, our sponsor for today's show and all of the Mondays through this month. So go check that out. We're back with supernatural news. Tim, where shall we wrap up with our supernatural news stories? You got a couple left, don't you?
Yeah, I've got about four left here.
All right, where next?
What do you get when you cross Malawi, vampires, and the UN?
Blood-sucking politicians that can kiss my ass?
Close. Include some pee-pee pants in there, and you're absolutely right.
Pee-pee pants.
Well, you know, there's a lot of scared people there. It turns out that the UN has moved their staff after mobs kill five in the Malawi vampire scare. I don't know if you know this, Dave. That's huge international news now.
The Malawi vampire scare?
Not really, no. But, I mean, it's – yeah. Here it is. I mean, on this show it is.
Well, it is because we're a paranormal supernatural news show.
Right, right. But, workers have been relocated from southern districts hit by the vigilante violence, and lynchings have followed stories of blood-sucking and possible vampires. The United Nations has pulled staff out of two districts in southern Malawi where a vampire scare has triggered mob violence in which at least five people have been killed. Belief in witchcraft is widespread in rural Malawi. Try saying that 10 times. One of the world's poorest countries where many aid agencies and NGOs work. A spate of vigilante violence linked to vampire rumors also erupted in Malawi in 2002. These districts have severely been affected by the ongoing stories of blood sucking and possible existence of vampires, the UN Department on Safety and Security said in a security report on the Falambe and Mulanje districts that was seen by Reuters. The acting UN resident coordinator, Florence Roll, said in an emailed response to questions that based on the report, some UN staff have relocated while others are still in the districts, depending on locations of their operations. UNDSS is continuing to monitor the situation closely to ensure all affected UN staff are back in the field as soon as possible, Roll went on to say. Roll did not say how many workers had been relocated. The UNDSS report said at least five people had been killed in the area since mid-September by lynch mobs, accusing them of vampirism. It said mobs searching for vampires had been mounting roadblocks in the district, raising security concerns. The Malawian president, Peter Mutharika, said the reports were distressing and agonizing. This development has been of grave concern to the president and the entire government, his office said in a statement. The UNDSS report said the vampirism rumors appear to have originated in neighboring Mozambique, although it was not clear what had sparked them. It recommended the temporary suspension of UN activities in the area until the situation is normalized. It said some NGOs had pulled personnel from the districts and temporarily suspended their programs, but did not name the organizations. So there you go.
Is this have we somehow time traveled to the like dark ages? How is it that there are people that still believe vampires are real blood sucking creatures?
That's a very good question.
I'm not trying to be rude here, but it just seems ridiculous that in 2017, this is even a thing.
Well, I think because there are very many places around the world that believe that witchcraft is an actual thing, that witchcraft and vampires tie into each other. And therefore, even with the UN, which has to respect all nations and all traditions, they have to take the threat very seriously. And when that village takes witchcraft seriously and vampires seriously, and then people start taking the law into their own hands, and you have these vigilante bands that go out and start killing because they believe witchcraft is being practiced against them, all of a sudden it becomes a very real thing, and something that, you know, you would think in today's modern day society should not be, you know, I mean, this, no. It seems to us like, how could you get so carried away with something like this? But, I mean, in Mozambique and in that area of the world, it's very much real. And in Malawi, it's very much a real thing.
I know, but that sounds ridiculous. You would think that the education value would have stepped up by now, that they would know that this is not a thing. And I know I'm going to get a bunch of pissed off emails from vampires now telling me we are a thing. How dare you tell us we're not a thing, David?
Now you're going to piss off the vampires.
I'd send you a pissed off picture of me, but you know we don't photograph well.
Well, yeah, and they never quite get their hair right in the mirror.
No. Yeah. All right. That is weird, though. That's a bizarre story.
Very.
It's like these witch deals in Papua New Guinea. Mm-hmm. They're dragging people out in the streets and burning them to death, claiming that they're witches.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just it's insane. I guess that's what happens when you don't evolve and spend all your day looking at your cell phone while pooping.
Right. I mean,
you don't educate yourself. This is what's going to happen.
Spend more time on the toity surfing. I mean, you would know. Just saying.
All right. Where shall we go next, sir?
Well, Dave, we go to the last ever flight 666 to hell, which took place on Friday the 13th. I know. It just seems like that's the last plane you would ever board.
Yes.
But
No. The last plane I would ever board is with a guy that I hooked up with on Facebook that is 56 and wants to marry me and just bought a new Cessna and is going to reinstate his license to fly me through the Bermuda Triangle. That might be the last plane I'm going to get on. This one, though, is running a close second on the Friday the 13th flight 666 going to Helsinki.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know that's the right. They're neck and neck, Tim. It's a photo finish on which one I'm more freaked out by.
Well, you just pointed out the obvious, Dave, to us. But if you're not a frequent flyer, the abbreviation for Helsinki is H-E-L or hell. Fearless flyers laughed in the face of superstition when they boarded the last ever flight 666 to hell or Helsinki on Friday the 13th. Traveling on the unluckiest day of the year could save you some pounds or dollars, but a journey straight to hell on the 13th hour of the superstitious date is one flight you probably would like to avoid. Nordic airline Finnair has flown brave passengers from Copenhagen, Denmark to Helsinki, Finland on Friday the 13th since 2006. However, it is the last time Flight 666 will fly to hell, so to speak, as the airline has decided to retire the flight number, so you no longer can catch that Flight 666. Today will actually be the final time that our AY666 flight flies to hell, a spokesperson for the airline said. As of October 29th, some of our flight numbers and our network will change, and our AY666 flight from Copenhagen to Helsinki will change to AY954, which isn't quite as fun for the flight attendants, I'm sure.
No.
In 11 years, we've flown 21 times the AY666 flight to hell on Friday the 13th. They couldn't have.
That would be a cool ticket to have, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. And
it'd be pretty ballsy to be that guy.
It would
be. But not me. Not me.
Thankfully, veteran pilot Juha-Pekka Kaidasto says he is not a superstitious or scared about flying on Friday the 13th. It has been quite a joke among the pilots, he said previously. I'm not a superstitious man. It's only a coincidence for me. If there's some passenger who is anxious about this 666, our cabin crew is always happy to help them. I bet you they walk up like dressed as the devil. What can I help you with? Flight 666 departed from the Danish capital at 1:20 p.m. and arrived safely in Helsinki, thank the Lord, shortly before 4 p.m. But why is Friday the 13th considered to be so unlucky? Well, go ask one of the Knights Templar. They'll tell you. I know that that's pretty much one of them. But biblical origins, too, will tell you that there were, something about that whole 13 and Last Supper thing. You know, that's part of it. We talked a little bit about it on Friday, but...
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, there's that whole
thing. All right. Where are we wrapping up tonight?
Let's see. We got two more here. Our second to last story has to do with the video of an alleged high school ghost, which has left the internet petrified. I tend to think the internet doesn't have the biggest set of grapefruits ever on the planet.
No, the internet is very jittery. They're very jumpy because they're always petrified and terrified and. First, I was afraid. I was petrified.
Too much 5-hour energy, I think, is what it is. Surveillance footage capturing a ghost terrorizing the halls of a school in Ireland is going viral online. The clip taken by security cameras in one of the hallways at Deer Park CBS High School was posted to the school's YouTube page earlier last week and has already garnered over 5 million views. The footage shows a series of unexplained events from a set of lockers appearing to violently shake with no visible force moving them, except for the nerd stuffed inside.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me out, please.
To notebooks flying across the halls and a wet floor sign being completely destroyed by no one in sight. According to reports, the spooky footage was conveniently captured on October 1st at 3 a.m., which, oddly enough, is known as the witching hour. If it's a prank, we don't know how it was done. Motion sensors were set off at this time. That's how it was caught, said the school's principal, Aaron Wolf. And Wolf said this isn't the first time something creepy has happened at the school, which is apparently the oldest school in the city at nearly 200 years old. Our caretaker has worked in the school for over 30 years and has recalled many stories of paranormal activity, Wolf explained. For example, on one occasion, the school was hosting an exotic bird show, and the birds arrived the day before because the organizers were worried that someone might break in and steal the birds. Someone had to stay overnight with them, and that person left the school in the middle of the night. They refused to stay any longer as they had heard that the last call being played on the trumpet. Of course, this could have just been the wind, they claim. Have you ever been breaking wind and heard a trumpet?
How do you mistake the wind for like a trumpet sounding taps kind of stuff? I don't get it.
I don't either, but that's the end of that story there.
Shenanigans.
And finally tonight, we saved one of the best for last.
Okay.
A man has discovered a mysterious frozen alien corpse badly disfigured and buried in the snow with an arm and a leg missing. And you wonder why they keep coming back to the planet. They're pissed off at what we do with their corpses. Just saying. The bizarre footage appears to show an extraterrestrial curled up in the snow, but is it all that it seems? An extraterrestrial hunter has found what he claims to be a dead alien buried in snow. The bizarre footage shows the figure with large black eyes and an open mouth and appears to be badly disfigured. The alien seems to be missing an arm and a leg, and its face has a blue tinge, probably because he's freezing to death. While its rest of its body is a yellow and pink color. It first appeared on a Russian TV channel with millions of viewers and millions of viewers have been trying to work out the authenticity of the video. It was reported that the video was shot in Siberia. Well, of course, then the alien froze to death, probably. But it was soon revealed by Russian Interior Ministry that the clip was actually a hoax. A Kremlin spokesman, I've been drinking that Russian vodka, Dave, said.
You've been drunkening it?
I've been drunkening it, said, we found the alien in one of the students' homes. It was lying under his bed, and an examination of it revealed it had been made of breadcrumbs, which were covered in chicken skin. That sounds delicious, by the way. I could go for an alien right about now. The alien was carried away on a stretcher. Oh, that's another headline. It's believed the video was actually filmed years ago, but has recently resurfaced online after being posted on Reddit. But some viewers were convinced by the official explanation, asking, how are you going to shape the body perfectly like that if it's fake? Another added, and where are all the bumps from the feathers? Never to be seen. Get your ignorant heads out of your asses.
Yeah, dumb people with your heads in your asses.
It can't be breadcrumbs and chickens because otherwise the birds would come feed on it. I don't know. That's my comment. It just doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Not much, but good effort, though.
I tried.
So that's it? That's all for the news?
That's all for the news.
You've wrapped up? There's no more news to be newsed?
Sorry, all done.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, I guess it's time to dip in, Tim, to our Parashare segment, brought to you by Amazon Prime exclusive series Lore. It's available right now on Amazon Prime exclusive video all October. You can check it out for yourself. Started last Friday the 13th. 6 new episodes. The show is based on the very popular Lore podcast. It has over 70 million downloads, and it's from an executive producer of The Walking Dead and an executive producer of The X-Files. So, you know, they're putting some time and effort into this kind of program. It's based on real historical accounts, and the episodes use a very unique mixed media blend of things like archival footage, different type of animation. Plus, you've got some reenactments. And they prove that the scariest stories are true. You can find more information by visiting www.amazon.com/lore, L-O-R-E. That's amazon.com/lore. Do us a favor, folks. Make sure you support those that support us. So when you hear us talking about these advertisers, please check them out for yourself. Go visit the website, check out the programs, because it's shows like that, and it's the advertisers like this that keep us on the air. All right, Tim, shall we begin in the world of strange with people's emails right now?
Oh, yes, please.
Howdy, Dave and Tim. Starts off very nice.
Hi.
I have to admit, I'm a bit spooked right now. I've written in before to tell you about the Lake Tyler Mergator and the time I thought Venus was a UFO. It was a pleasure to hear my stories on your podcast, but I don't think that I really had any other stories of consequence to share with you until today. That's a great sound effect, Tim. How'd you do that?
Well, magic.
It's 5:30 a.m. Texas time as I write this email. I have a side gig running a paper route overnight in East Texas, and I just got home from what was absolutely the most frightening night drive of my life. I'm not a timid man. I'm perhaps too curious or too stupid to leave well enough alone, but tonight, my curiosity got the better of me. I had just begun my route through a rural area in East Texas when I spotted a deer carcass lying on the side of the road. This is not a terribly uncommon sight in a rural area, but I decided to stop and have a look at it. Now, don't get me wrong. I had no plans for deer. About a month ago, when I hit a small hog during my route, my boss got mad at me for leaving bacon on the side of the road. When I saw the deer, I could imagine what he would say if I left venison on the side of the road. So I thought that I would check out the deer and let him know about it, if for no other reason than to avoid a second scolding. I texted my boss about the deer and then immediately sent a second text saying, never mind, it's pretty messed up. I'm not a hunter, Tim, but do you eat roadkill deer?
I do not, no.
Doesn't it like bloat and fester on the side of the road in the heat? And doesn't the like it start breaking down into the meat, the different bodily fluids?
Yeah, depending on how old the roadkill is. I mean, if you get it with it's pretty fresh, you could yeah, but salvage
what if it was hit and you shattered ribs and punctured bladders?
You just pick
and
out
such.
Well, you don't eat the organs, but you just pick out.
No, the bones. But if it but that urine's leaking out into the body parts and meat,
like, you'll wash it out.
Blah. Oh, I can't do it. Anyway, he says here, I won't get too graphic, but as I sat in my vehicle looking at the deer in the light of my high beams, I could see that it had wounds on its throat and the soft belly between its hindquarters. This, to me, indicated animal predation. The throat was the killing wound and the belly was a feeding wound. It was a pretty common wound pattern. What was weird, though, was the location of the animal on the side of the road. It didn't seem to have any impact wounds from a collision, and there were no skid marks or vehicle debris in the area. For the deer to have been attacked and killed in that location on the side of the road would be very unusual indeed. It was the wrong location for an animal kill and the wrong wound pattern for a vehicle collision. Something wasn't adding up, and I decided to get out of my car to get a closer look at the body and the ground around it. Now, I'm familiar with Linda Moltenhau's work on animal mutilation cases, and I wondered if this might be what happened to the deer. Although it seemed like animal predation, I'm not an expert, so I wanted more information. At this point, I've gotten out of my vehicle, and I'm standing in the road looking at the deer, which is a good 10 feet away from me. The engine is running, the high beams are lighting the area around the deer, and I'm feeling curious and a little disgusted, but safe. I use one hand to pull my shirt up over my nose to block the smell, then take two steps closer to the deer. Now, I can see that the deer also has wounds on its face and muzzle. I'm trying to decide if I should be taking pictures of the animal and its condition. I was debating about taking pictures because, well, taking pictures of the victim of an animal mutilation is documenting a curiosity. It has purpose and investigative value. Taking pictures of a dead deer is just creepy and gross. I wasn't sure which situation I was in just then. While I'm debating, I use my free hand to pull my cell phone out of my pocket. As I'm standing there on the side of the road, 6 feet from the carcass of a deer next to my idling vehicle, I hear a tremendous crashing noise in the woods around me. The sound was so big, so loud, and so close that it was shocking. And I immediately scrambled back into my car and drove away from the area. I drove about a mile down the road and texted my boss to let him know what happened and that I was leaving the area. Dave, Tim, I don't know if I've ever been that scared in my life. It's hard to convey the frightening quality of the sound I heard just in an email. The noise was big, loud, and so close that I couldn't tell where it came from. It seemed to be all around me. It sounded like a huge, heavy animal had just slammed against the trunk of a tree with tremendous force. There was no animal sounds associated with the noise. No grunting, no growling, no roaring, no howling. It was percussive, an impact of great force. I have no idea what could have made that sound. Now, here's a list of critters I do see at night on my route. There's rabbits and skunks and possums and armadillos and raccoons and coyotes and bobcats and owls and bats and hogs and dogs and deer. None of those things could have made that sound. Now, I'm about 6 foot tall and about 250 pounds. I'm kind of a big guy. I could not have made that sound. Whatever it was bigger and heavier and much stronger than me. This is the thing that still creeps me out, even now, in the safety of my own home, in the comforting glow of the computer screen. The noise happened suddenly, all at once. It was quiet, and then it was not quiet. This was not an animal running through the woods and bumping into a tree. If something had been moving around in the woods there, I would have heard it moving about. I was at that site for about 10 minutes, texting my boss, investigating, and trying to decide what to do. Whatever made that noise was there the whole time. It was there, in the dark of the woods beyond my headlights. It was watching, silently, the whole time. I can only assume that whatever it was, if it had decided it was time for me to leave, I was happy to oblige. Thanks again for putting up with my weird stories. I can't promise I'll have more stories to share with you, but I can promise that if anything else weird happens, you will hear from me. Keep up the great work, guys. Health, success, and happiness to you both. That comes from Jeremy from Texas. Thank you, Jeremy. More reasons, Tim, not to go outside. Mm-hmm. I have no interest in that. No, thank you. Put me down for a no, a pass.
Hmm.
Let me see. I don't know if I can. Some of these stories are hard to open. When you send me the PDFs and stories, just send them to me as an email, folks, because when you send them to me any other way, sometimes they're hard to open. But I do have a secondhand story from Lisa Wilson. This experience is not mine. It comes secondhand from a former coworker. I almost felt as if it were happening to me as I worked with her throughout the span of her newfound belief in the supernatural. She was renting a small house in Northwest Arkansas, just her and her cat. Soon after her move, Diana noticed a difference in her cat. It would hiss for no apparent reason and bound into the room as if it were being chased. She also started to notice other things. Kitchen cupboards would be open when she came home from work. A bowl would be sitting in the middle of the kitchen floor and lights would randomly flicker. It wasn't an especially old house, but it was an active one. For a while, she explained it away. She'd forgotten to close the cupboards before leaving for work. Perhaps the cat had played with them. Maybe the landlord had come by. He lived in the neighborhood nearby. Eventually, she just got used to it. Diana decided to have friends over for Thanksgiving, which included a young boy of about 5. Up in the attic, she had some toys, so she sent him up the stairs to play while she prepared dinner. When time came to get him, Diana heard him carrying on what sounded like a conversation. Assuming the boy's mother had joined him upstairs, she headed up as well, but quickly realized he was alone because he was the only one talking. When she asked him who was talking to, he said, "The old lady standing over there," and pointed to the nothingness. Diana was aghast. She couldn't deny the presence any longer. When Diana pressed him for more information, he said she was just a nice lady who had been playing with him. Shortly thereafter, she got up the nerve to ask the landlord, who also owned the home, if he'd heard anything similar from the tenants in the past. It was a strange conversation, and she felt awkward bringing it up, but he said no, nothing. He then matter-of-factly stated that he actually grew up in the house and nothing strange had happened to him. In fact, his mother still lived in the home until her passing a few months back. Suddenly, everything made sense. Deciding that she had never been truly scared by the ghost and armed with the knowledge of who her spirit actually was, she decided to confront her. Diana simply stated, "You're welcome to stay here, but please don't frighten me." After that, the events settled but never completely stopped. Whenever Diana would have friends stay over, she would make them aware, making sure guests knew that nothing really frightening or threatening had ever happened to her. One particular friend got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, flipped on the hall light, and headed for the bathroom when the hair on the back of her neck started to stand up, and she remembered Diana's caution. The friend exclaimed, "Stupid ghost." The hall light turned off immediately, and the friend screamed for Diana. When the friend told her what happened, Diana stated that she had never said anything in anger or fear to the spirit and that she didn't know what to do. The friend calmed a bit and then said she was just frightened by the ghost and didn't mean to make her angry. At that moment, the hall light flipped back on. When Diana eventually moved out of the house, a male acquaintance of hers rented it next. After he'd lived there a couple of weeks, she decided to ask if he'd had any experiences. Apparently, the spirit did not care for a man living there, and the man had become truly frightened by his own experiences. He told Diana that it was so bad, he decided to bring a local pastor in to help the spirit possibly cross over. Apparently, it had been successful, as the experiences completely ceased after the pastor's visit. A tidy bow on a story I love to share every chance I get. Thanks for letting me in warmly, Lisa Wilson. That's something. Did I just read that a week or two ago, Tim?
I don't remember.
It sounds really familiar to me, so I'm going to just throw that one out so I never come across it again. I don't mean to be rude. I'm just saying, I think that one might have popped up in here. Let me see. Oh, my goodness. Just one giant paragraph. I can't do that one. Here we go. Yep, this is more stuff I can't open up. Sorry, guys. Send it to me. It's just an email. Don't send it as an attachment, please. Let me see what we have here. Yeah, and sending me somebody else's article, I don't want to do that either. I prefer your stories. Hi, Dave and Tim. My name is Joe. I've been a listener of Beyond Darkness since its start. I've always been interested in the paranormal and supernatural and have been an avid listener of shows such as Beyond the Darkness going back to the Art Bell days on Coast to Coast. I have a couple stories of my own personal experiences I thought I would come forward and share. I haven't told many people, as their usual response is, I'm crazy or I was dreaming. This will probably be lengthy of an email, so I'll break them up as best I can since I know how you two hate it when stories are kept for later. So here we go. The first story is entitled Native American Ghost Encounter. When I was very little, somewhere under the age of 7, I'd say, I had a very frightening encounter that had stayed with me all this time. It was the early to mid 1980s, and my father was away on one of his business trips that he would have to take from time to time. One night, my mom had me sleep in bed with her in my parents' room. They set up the room, the setup of the room was windows on the west and south walls, closet, which was opened, and door on the north side, with the bed's headboard on the east wall, with nightstands on either side, and a lamp on each, and a ceiling light in the middle of the room. On this night, since I was often afraid at night, my mom had left one of the lamps on as a nightlight for me. It was later at night, between 10 p.m. and midnight, I would say, and I was lying in bed with my mom to my right. I was having trouble getting to sleep, as my mom laid there already asleep, when the encounter happened. As I laid there looking up at the ceiling light, I saw something move on the ceiling to the light from the direction of the closet. Then another something moved, and another. I couldn't believe my eyes when, to my horror, a ghostly skeleton came down from the light right at me, its arm and hand outreached as if trying to snatch me. It was not just a plain skeleton, as it had shoulder-length, scraggly hair somewhat tucked into a bandana with an old raggy clothes barely hanging on. And it wasn't the only one. There were four different skeleton ghosts in total, all with similar raggy clothes on top of three of them, going from the closet to the ceiling light, then down right at me, back up at the light and back to the closet, then they would do the loop again. The fourth one was standing in the closet, moving around like it was dancing. This one had just the plain skeleton head with no hair or headwear, but was still as raggy clothed as the others. I tried to wake my mom up, but she wasn't having it and told me to be quiet and go back to sleep. Having no other recourse and feeling like I had to do something, I tried to fight back. When they would come down, I started throwing punches. This seemed, of course, to irritate the ghosts, and they started to pick up the pace. As I lay there trying to hit them, my mom had had enough and tried to restrain me by putting her arm around me and getting me to go back to sleep, but they still came. After several minutes more, the ghosts finally disappeared, and I somehow got to sleep, and the encounter ended. I know the story sounds childish or that I imagine the whole thing, but here's where it gets interesting. 20-plus years later, my parents, my two sisters, and my sister's boyfriend, future husband, and she were in the middle, she was the middle child of the three of us, were sitting on the back porch one night, all talking when ghosts and the supernatural was brought up. After hearing of my future brother-in-law's story of how he believes he is haunted by his brother, I recounted this story. My parents instantly laughed it off as my imagination, and my middle sister spoke up and said that the same thing had happened to her. After talking about both our experiences and how similar they were, my mom finally said that our house was, in fact, built on an old Indian burial ground. When she said this, it dawned on me that the ghosts did have a resemblance to Native Americans. Ever since then, along with other occurrences, my sister and I have believed my parents' house is haunted, but my parents still don't believe it. The basement light experience. This occurrence happened when I was in my late teens, early 20s, and my youngest sister was around the age of 15 or 16 in the late 1990s, early 2000s, and occurs in the same house as the previous story. It was late at night, approximately 10 p.m. or so. I remember the time since my mom wasn't home yet in her second shift nursing job. It was a normal night for everyone in the house, which now consisted of myself, my parents, and my younger sister. The middle sister had moved out by this time. My dad had gone to bed, and I had thought my sister had gone to bed as well, as I was still up in my room playing video games, as I usually stayed up till mom got home when she had to work. My door was closed, which was usual for me, when my sister burst into my room, white as a sheet. "There's something weird going on," she said. She looked at me, and I looked up to see what she wanted. "Like what?" I said, halfway expecting her to tell me something sarcastic or funny, seeing as we had the same sense of humor. "The bird light in the basement is on," she said. My mom was raising pet birds at the time, and it was my sister's job to feed and water them at night and turn the light off and on when my mom had to work. "Yeah, so?" I asked, figuring she'd forgot to turn it off. "I turned it off earlier. Now it's on again," she responded. "You sure? You probably just forgot," I retorted skeptically. "No, I did. I swear. I got them taken care of, turned off the light, and came up," she responded, trying to convince me. We went back and forth for a couple more minutes before I finally agreed to get up and look. Sure enough, from the basement doorway looking down, I could see that the bird room light was on, with the light shining through the bottom of the door into the other room. "You just forgot," I said as I looked down. "No, it was off," she halfway whispered. Well, now I was beginning to worry. Was someone in the house? Should I wake my dad knowing he'd be mad at us for doing so and face his wrath? Should I wait a few more minutes and wait till mom gets home to see what's going on? Finally, I decide to grab a baseball bat and go see for myself. I told my sister to come with me, but to stay behind me as we descended down the stairs slowly to investigate. My mom finally got home about this time and was wondering why I was running around with a bat, and my sister was obviously scared. My sis gave her a quick rundown as we started down, and my mom stayed upstairs and watched from the doorway. Mother of the Year award right there. My parents' basement has always been spooky, or at least had that feel to it, and I hated being down there, especially at night. It's a full basement with a large laundry room immediately to the right at the bottom of the stairs. My dad's shop to the left of the stairs, straight ahead, was a large rec room where we had a pool table, and the bird room was off the right of that room. All the lights were out, so I decided to go room by room. We started with the laundry room, turning the light on quick and checking back to where my dad's shower was and under the stairs where my mom stored her canned goods. We left the light on as we went onto my dad's shop and did the same there, and then the rec room. Finally, we opened the door fast and I was ready to swing away. However, when we opened it, we found nothing amiss other than the light was on. We double-checked all the rooms again and finally turned off all the lights and headed back up. My mom grilled us on what was going on and had many of the same responses I had when my sister told me about it. She swore up and down that the light was off when she came up earlier, and somehow it was turned back on when she noticed it later. It could have been a short or some other electrical occurrence that caused it, but we still don't know exactly what happened. The unknown sounds. Since then, both my sister and I have had several different occurrences happen that included music being played, lights on or off, other sounds from where we were staying. I know Dave recently on an episode of Beyond the Darkness said how weird sound travels and can be picked up by and rebroadcast by other things such as fans, vents, and whatnot. This could be what we were hearing. An active, as in being used, train track is about a mile and a half to 2 miles away, so that may account for some of it. The most recent one was last year when I was forced to stay there overnight, the first night from getting a kidney transplant. I was hoping I could sleep in my old room, but of course I had to sleep in my dad's room where the first story occurred. My parents had since moved to separate rooms due to my dad's snoring and my mom's thrashing at night. To say it was an uneasy night for me would be an understatement. When I got there and found out I'd be sleeping in there, that first story came flooding back to me. So I guess I was preconditioned for something to happen. I got to sleep later on the night due to my uneasiness and along with having trouble getting comfortable with about a foot long's worth of staples on my lower right hand side of my abdomen. I woke up about an hour later and I swore I could hear music or muffled talking going on. It was not coming from one of the other rooms, but from the attic above me or below the porch, which is to my left. I couldn't make out any of the words. It just muffled talk and very soft music playing. It was a restless sleep, and every time I woke up, I would hear one or the other. However, luckily, no ghosts came for me that night. Again, this could be from the train track or from one of the neighbors to the north or to the south of my parents' place. I don't know. But with the history of this place, it led me to go back to my own place the following day and sleep in my own bed afterwards. The presence in my current home. In 2005, I bought my first and current home. It's a Lustron? How do you say it? L-U-S-T-R-O-N, Tim? Lustron? Lustron house? I don't know. I'm not a house guy. It's a Lustron house built out of extra metal left over from World War II. The previous owner had passed on, but not in the house. However, I believe she checks in on the place from time to time. Every now and then, I feel there is something or someone watching me in the house. Things being knocked down or odd sounds come from around the house. The most eerie or scary account happened on the night as I slept. I woke up in bed on my stomach with both of my dogs lying on the window side of the bed. As I laid there, I definitely felt someone sit down on the opposite side of the bed behind me, down by my feet. I lay there frozen. There was someone behind me. I knew it. Both my dogs were sound asleep in front of me, so it couldn't be them. After some fearful moments, I finally got the nerve to look up. There was nothing there. I got up and checked all over the house, fearful that someone was in the house. However, to my relief, I did not find anyone there in the house. I know I didn't imagine it, nor did I dream it. Someone or something sat down on my bed. I have a hunch it may be the presence that I felt looking at me. Here again, I've heard voices below the house, even though I have no basement. And as far as I know, this house was not built on an old Indian burial ground. However, it is next to the Iowa Veterans Home. So maybe it could be a veteran visiting, or it could be the previous owner of the house. I don't know. It could be some reverberation from there or from the river that is just a couple blocks away. I'm not leaving out any possibilities. UFO sighting. My final story is of an odd sighting I had back in 2003 or 2004. I was still living with my parents at the time. I was headed home on a Sunday after work and had decided to stop at the Casey's by my parents' house to get gas. As I stood there gassing up, one of my friends pulled up to do the same and started catching up as we stood there. As we were talking, I noticed something flying low in the southern sky. It was particularly cloudy out, and it was around 7:30 p.m. Sun was just beginning to set. From my vantage point, all I could see was light reflecting off something that was flying below the cloud cover, and it was heading in my direction. The hairs on my neck stood up. "Hey, you see that?" I asked my friend. "Oh, yeah, it's a plane," he said. "You sure?" I asked. Yeah, he replied. The conversation continued as I watched the object. As I watched it, in literally a blink of my eyes, the object went from heading north in my direction to heading east and moving fast. It quickly disappeared from sight into the clouds, and I never saw it again. My friend and I finished up, went our separate ways. I haven't told anyone this story. Could it have been a plane or a helicopter? Sure, it could have been. There is a small airport here in town, and I've never seen a plane or helicopter make such a turn. It could have been a military plane that did it. Again, I'm not ruling anything out, but it was strange. When it turned east, there was no more definition to the craft I saw other than it was a something. Well, those are the stories, as best as I can remember, that I've had. Thanks again for such a cool and interesting show with the variety of subjects that you guys have. I look forward to hearing more from future shows. I'd also like to get any updates on the Romania trip. I realize it'll probably be out of my price range, but who knows? Maybe something will work out and I'll be able to go. Dracula's Castle would be awesome to see in person and definitely on the bucket list. Thanks again for your great show and taking time to listen, or should I say read my stories. Keep up the good work and I'll do my best and my part to support the show, either through your sponsors or getting the word out about the show. Sincerely, Joe Berg. Joe, thank you very much for sending in your stories and for supporting us and supporting our advertisers. And we want all of you to do the same thing. Remember, all the advertisers you hear here, you can find more information by visiting podcastone.com. Click on the Killer Deals link, then go to Beyond the Darkness. Click on that, and you'll be able to see all the advertisers you hear mentioned on our show. So support those advertisers, guys. I can't tell you how important it is. You're going to buy razors. You're going to buy clothes. You're going to buy shoes. You're going to buy food. Do it through the advertisers and through the Amazon links that we supply, because every time you support our advertisers, it helps to keep our show on the air and keep this content free for you. So please do that. And remember to check out Amazon Prime's exclusive brand new series, Lore. It began on Friday the 13th. It's a 6-episode anthology series. It's available right now. From an executive producer of The Walking Dead and an executive producer of The X-Files, based on real historic accounts, the episodes are definitely a unique blend of archival footage, animation, and reenactments. And the scary stories are true. You can find more information by visiting them out at Amazon.com/lore. Again, Amazon.com/lore. Watch now exclusively on Amazon Prime Video. Tomorrow, it's the return of True Crime Tuesday on Beyond the Darkness. We're going to re-examine a case, one of our favorite episodes and a very bizarre case, dealing with the death abduction of Adam Walsh and a very unlikely suspect that reared his ugly head in the story. It's definitely one of my favorites. Tim, I think you really liked that one, too, when we covered it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's tomorrow on Beyond the Darkness as we revisit that case. And then, of course, there's a brand new True Crime Tuesday. And please subscribe to that right now. Go help us support the show. Spread the word about the show. You can do that by going to darknessradio.com. Click on the True Crime Tuesday banner and subscribe now. $5 a month gets you 4 to 5 brand new episodes. That's right. There's 5 Tuesdays this month. So this is a great time to sign up, because if you sign up right now for our True Crime Tuesday podcast, you'll get 5 episodes this month. For just $5. It's only $1 an episode. Plus, you get access to all of our past episodes. And remember, you can cancel at any time. It's a month-by-month service. So you can continue on with it and continue to get the best in true crime talk radio, or you can stop anytime. But everybody that signs up from the beginning of time until my birthday on November 22nd is going to be eligible. We're going to draw 3 names at random to win a 1-year paid subscription to True Crime Tuesday. So go sign up and be a part of that now by visiting darknessradio.com and clicking on the True Crime Tuesday banner to subscribe and help support your buddies Dave and Tim and our work. Thanks again. Be safe, be kind, love one another. We'll be back tomorrow with True Crime Tuesday revisited here on Beyond the Darkness.